This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
Fish lovers of Hawaii, listen up, please, because there's some good news and some bad news. The bad news is that the state and federal governments have closed the main Hawaiian Islands fisheries for 7 bottom fish species. This closure affects the so-called Deep Seven, meaning Opakapaka, Kalikali, Onaga, Ehu, Jindai, Sea Bass, and Lehi. So from now until September 1st, you can't catch them, eat them, give them away, or even have one on your boat. The good news is that the Deep Seven fisheries of the northwestern Hawaiian Islands are loaded with fish and are open year-round. Not too many boats are allowed to fish the northwest these days, but you can ask your favorite fish store or restaurant to keep an eye out for you when their catches do arrive at the fish auction. So good luck and bon appetit.
Welcome to the Carol Cox Show, another beautiful Sunday here in Honolulu. Today, again, I have a guest, Mr. Panos Prevadoras, who is a mayoral candidate for the city and county of Honolulu. And we're going to have just a brief, I have a few points before we get with Panos. But Panos, thank you again for dropping in, and you look a little tired-eyed from the last time I saw you.
Right. Well, it's been a month of trying to reach people and all. My pleasure to be on your show. We've been doing one event after the other, and weekends are just regular work days. So yes, it's been difficult, but that's what we need to do. When you run for office, you got to run for it.
Yeah, and I guess you better have lots of energy and reserve. So.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, what I wanted to do today is talk about. I don't want to be political, but I'm going to be political in this sense.
Okay.
And that I see the many ads, and as all the listeners out there know, that I'm really concerned with environmental concerns and the degradation and quality of the environment, as well as good quality government.
Mm-hmm.
So when I see flaws, I hope to point them out. One interesting point that I want to talk about, and this is the Sand Island Treatment Plant.
Mm-hmm.
It has not risen to the level that and of a public attention and scrutiny that it really deserves. But I think in the coming weeks, because I'm having to navigate through the tight-handedness or closed-door policy of this administration, the Hanneman administration, to delay release of documents.
I see.
Whereas the law says you can walk in and look at documents in a normal work day, or you can request it and they have 10 working days. Well, what we're experiencing is that they automatically give us a 10 working days or even a little ploy to say, well, your request is not that clear, so or simply don't recall, return.
Right. Delay tactics.
Right, yeah. And so I look at this and I'm alarmed in that all we see is me seeing the videos and the commercials that are being played. And I know that's not consistent with the truth.
Mm-hmm.
So specifically, the Sand Island Treatment Plant.
Right.
I spoke about it last week and the week before where there's releases of gases.
Mm-hmm.
Senegro sent out a letter who is a contractor there at the Sand Island Treatment Plant.
Mm-hmm. Are these the operators now? Or?
No, they are the ones who are supposed to take the sludge and pelletize it and use it for fertilizer,
mm-hmm.
which now have been stated for many years now, a couple of years, by the Hanneman administration, Hanneman himself specifically, that it's working and they're diverting sludge from the landfill.
Mm-hmm.
That is not true. It is being still hauled to the landfill.
Mm-hmm.
They are now having problems with the hydrogen sulfide gases. Mm-hmm. And the OSHA is investigating it. And a July 17, 2008 letter sent out by Senegro show and acknowledge that there's releases of biogases. But interesting, what I found out in looking at this entire process is that in 2005, the Department of Health, Clean Air Branch, issued notice of violation and a finding of order fining $542,000.
Right.
Now, I want to be clear. These were violations that were prior to the Hanneman's administration.
Mm-hmm.
We want to be fair and don't want to mix that up.
Mm-hmm.
These violations. But he came in 2004.
Mm-hmm.
These violations intensified and are now occurring even more frequent.
Right.
And in a, what they call a LOCAT and in a Phoenix system unit there at the Sand Island Treatment Plant.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have confirmed with workers in the treatment plant, as well as the manager, as well as the state health department, that there have been informal notice of violations here in 2008 regarding violations that's ongoing and occurring. So, in other words, in 2004 or 2005, they finally cited them, they being the state health department. And in turn, but no corrective action
was taken.
So, in other words, continue to violate, and we'll be back and inspect you. So, now, this brings a bigger point. We can't blame Hanneman for Harris's shortcomings and failings and reluctancy to do whatever. We want to be fair to him. But on the other hand, we have to also give the responsibility where it lies.
Yeah.
And that is, Hanneman is fighting the EPA.
EPA, that's right.
On the upgrades, while knowing that the plant is being operated in a manner that is not safe. There's some, I'm told, 200 some violations, safety violations. And then the other, the LOCAT unit and the Phoenix unit. And so he bears a responsibility here, greater. Instead of presenting that everything's working and he's spent billion in sewage and what have you, I want to know about the billion or the millions that he's about to spend in the fines. Now, there's a catch to this. The state health department is trying now to fold this into a consent decree, which is problematic because then they become the gatekeeper, as they have so since 2002. These violations have occurred or further back in 2000, let's say.
Right.
And now it's 2008 and they're still debating. So anyway, these are some of the things that I am really concerned with, and I would be able to give greater details, but here's a strategy, as I've spoke earlier. This administration refuses and have now deploying or employing tactics such as you have to wait 10 days or longer to get public documents. But, I mean, if you're claiming that you're spending billions to improve the sewer,
why aren't you proud of the fact?
Why aren't you proud of the fact and give us the documentation? So anyway, having said that, I'm really concerned, and I want the public to know, this is not campaigning on my part, I want the public to know that let's look beyond the rhetoric, let's look beyond the political statements, let's ask responsibility, let's ask the facts, and this is what Hanneman should present to us. Now, and I would challenge you the same way if you were giving me blindsiding me. I mean, I'm just I have to be open and honest about that too. But when we are shielding the public and we're using the Corporation Council to serve as a shield as well, so it's a shameful statement, commentary on this administration's part.
It is.
And there, the bottom line is that the environment is a real...
He's at risk,
at risk. And secondly, the men there that are working. Now, I'll give you an example. That Sand Island Treatment Plant, it's an area the equivalent approximately of 9 football fields.
It's pretty large.
Large. But the system, there's only 2 people at nighttime managing it. I'm told that by some of the managers or the workers there that the computer system doesn't serve its purpose. So it's a lot of dysfunctional, inoperable equipment or equipment that have been spent monies on millions, but yet there's problems. So I believe that in the coming weeks, if they refuse to release these documents, I'm going to have to approach it some other action legally or what have you. But folks, there is something going on more sinister, and if just if he claimed that in one of his State of the City speeches, that he being Hanneman, that the sludge was diverted.
Mm-hmm.
He made that statement. Yeah. To date, sludge is being diverted. There's a little going to the Haseko golf course.
Mm.
But the remainder
is dumped.
Mm-hmm. And then I'm told that there's dumping of the gases, methane and and the hydrogen sulfide into the trunk lines.
Right.
So this is, I believe there's something more sinister.
Yeah.
And I think he needs to come clean with us and have a healthy discussion. And I hope in your debates.
Yeah, we're going to bring this point up. Yes.
I'm hoping that you do, because we, the citizen here, deserve more than just I've done and I've kept my promises and I've spent millions. Yeah, but millions, billions, is that to include the fines?
Right. I mean, it's...
Is that to include the consultants and the lawyers to get us out of trouble?
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, having said all of that, if you have anything with that, but...
Well, I have a lot of comments, yes.
Okay, and then I really want to get to, because you've been out there a month, I want to know what the people are asking. And if the people out there want to call in and talk to you, I don't want to sit here and just ask you questions you know, you could, you have a fancy answer for me. I want you to be hit broadside, square in the face with these truths. So, folks, if you want to call in... 524-1080 for questions for mayoral candidate Panas Prevadoris.
So
go ahead.
Yeah. Pan. So let's stick to the environmental issue for a while because it's pretty fertile. Number one, we saw in that memo that most of the violations happened between 1999 and 2004, before Hanneman took the helm. However, during those years, for at least 3 years, he was chair of the city council.
Mm-hmm.
And the city council is responsible for the budget and setting some of the priorities. So obviously that was not a priority for him. Secondly, right now, he has a commercial on TV that he says that he actually took action with the Alawai sewer spill. Actually, his action was reaction. First, the 50 million and more gallons of raw sewage was spilled, and then he took action. Now, what I find particularly disingenuous is that he shows up and he says that he fixed the sewer. And all he did is that he took the elevated sewer lines, those big black exposed sewer lines, and he moved them from the Mackay side of the Alawai to the Mauka side. So those exposed sewer lines are actually right there in front of the Olani School and the Alawai Elementary. So they are not even, you know, this is not a complete solution. Now, this week, we have significant environmental news, and actually there, at least the big part of it is negative against the city, because federal Judge Ezra ruled on the Sierra Club lawsuit against the city, and they verified over 200 sewage spills, and the city was fined to the tune of $6.5 million. Very significant. The other significant thing that happened on Friday, that's only 2 days ago, is the way I understand it, Jeff Mikulina stepped down from Sierra Club, and he's becoming deputy director at the city's environmental services department. So, I don't know, this has significant implications, and I guess if you cannot fight your enemies, bring them into your fold. I don't know, it's a shrewd political move on the part of both of them. And it has significant implications for the city. Now, what does it mean for Sierra Club, and what does it mean for the city? It's very shortly we'll find out exactly what's going on.
So, not being the director, so he will only have a voice, but a limited voice.
I guess so, because deputy director always has a very limited voice.
Well,
so is this some kind of comfortable position for Jeff, living Sierra Club? I have no idea.
Well. You know, interesting you mentioned that. Something's been stuck in my craw that's just not going down well. Watching TV the other day, we see the coverage is on Mr. Bill Brennan.
Okay, yes.
For the DUI.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
People make mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
And that I don't want to kick a man when he's down.
Mm-hmm.
And Mr. Hanneman said, well, it was in his private life or whatever.
Right, off-duty times.
Well, I'll let the people decide out there. Ron Manor wasn't on his private life, but he was taken to task and being held accountable.
And Senator Karamatsu, too. Representative Karamatsu, yes.
Yeah. Well, they were on their private time.
Of course, all of them.
In their private car.
Deep night time.
But isn't it interesting how our mayor can take and become technical when it comes to the truth?
Mm-hmm.
It stares him in the face.
Mm-hmm.
And the most beautiful thing you could ever set your eyes on is the truth. And he, for some reason, knows how to become a wordsmith and shape it and then give it to you with emotions now.
Mm-hmm.
But here's what really struck me.
Mm-hmm.
I can get past that. But the Honolulu Advertiser, there was a gentleman named Mr. Johnny Brannan.
Okay.
Now, people can move and migrate to any employment they wish, but Mr. Brannan now works for the mayor.
I see.
Now, that's okay. That's an innocuous, it's an innocent act.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what troubles me. I went to Mr. Brannan on many occasions and gave him information that reflected that the landfill and that the recycling bins at the schools and what have you, very damning evidence. That evidence was dismissed and never written about. And I had a discussion and frank discussion with Mr. Brannan what was going on. It appears that he was shielding. I would give him information and the following day or there would be an article, but it would be as if preempting any coverage that I might get that would be negative, and he would refuse. But I was just absolutely shocked. But this speaks to the character. And the intent of this mayor. So give them the commercials, give them the sound bites, listen to the singing, and then we should vote him in. But the reality is taxpayers are being ripped off.
Exactly.
Lanikai, 8:30 the other night, I was over filming because what I was told is that they quietly, it occurred at 1 o'clock, the pump station, main force main valve pump line broke. And I was told by workers who called me to tip me off that they were told, keep this quiet because we don't want any negative media.
Media.
We don't want any negative media because we already have this negative one out in the newspapers now in the media from Judge Ezra's room.
Right. So it was this week?
Yes. It was just this week.
Oh, wow.
So I'm saying to the people out there, look past the politics of this. If you buy into this, I'm not going to be mad at you. I'm going to simply say you were told, and it's up to you to make that decision if they want to vote for you or whomever, or vote for Hanneman. But my goal is to put the truth out there. And, and so I am just simply, I'm not going to just stand by and watch it, because I am a citizen, I'm a taxpayer, and I'm an environmentalist, and I'm concerned with the future and the quality of our environment. So anyway, having said all that, if you have any other points on that, go ahead, and
well,
I would like to hear what you've been...
It is amazing that, we keep sinking a lot of money in fixing the sewers and the water mains, and essentially every week we have a major complaint about, as you described, sewer failure and also water main in Waianae the week before last. Bottom line is that the infrastructure in this city has been neglected for so long, three or four administrations in a row, that now we really have to pay through the nose to fix it up. This is a great opportunity. We need to elect the proper person to make infrastructure priority one, because this city will actually collapse on its own, because you cannot operate a city without basic services. You cannot operate a city and have a major sewage spill every other week and a major water line rupturing every other week. And, of course, you asked me before, what do people complain about? Well, one of the most common complaints is our roads. And they don't mean traffic, because right now it's summertime and the traffic is okay. And they talk about traffic and solutions, but the quality of the roads. So I did a little more research to find out where we stand. Well, the Hanneman position is that he is actually proud that he has fixed something like 18,000 potholes. But that is 18,000 pieces of evidence of doing it wrong time and again. You do not maintain roads by filling potholes. You fix the pavements, you fix the roads. There is I mean, the process has been out for a pavement management system for decades, and we need to actually follow the process. We don't do things that, you know, they're in other states' codes, and you and I talked about this, the recycling of tires. There is no more difficult things than recycling the tires, which actually are not biodegradable, and if you burn them, they're toxic. But there are fantastic processes where you actually shred them, and then you mix them in the asphalt mix. Not only that one saves you 2% of the most expensive material, which is the asphalt binder, but it makes the pavement far more durable and cushy and resistant to cracking. And it's not our actually permitted in our code to do that in Honolulu and in Hawaii. So we're quite behind. So fixing the potholes is a number one problem that comes up and again, and it's just a small indication of how deteriorated the infrastructure is. Another thing I did, and I posted it on my website, just to show how neglected the infrastructure is. One Sunday, I decided to drive my car and take pictures of traffic signs. You know, the, you know, no left turn, speed limits, and this and that, the traffic signs. And I thought that, you know, well, I'm going to drive for an hour and then, you know, make a little video. Well, I quit at 30 minutes. At 30 minutes, I already had 75 pictures of traffic signs that they were beyond, you know, utility. They had so many stickers, so much vandalism, so much fading and all. And all of them, I didn't even go in the boonies. I went around the UH, Kaimuki, Manoa, and Alawai Boulevard. And within 30 minutes exactly, I stopped the clock, 75 images of derelict traffic signs. So from the smallest things, to potholes, to sewers, to pavements, to water main breaks, tremendous problems, tremendous problems. So that's one that actually begins to register with people. And from one perspective, they look at that, and then they look at this single project administration which has been derailed. I mean, all that he cares about, and he has the unions advertise for him, or he has taxpayer money advertised for him, is the rail. And if there is any project in this city that we don't need, we cannot afford, and we cannot maintain, is a $6.4 billion rail system. So, I mean, we really need to stop it. There is no other way about it. I'm very happy that the council at last, after they saw the 49,000 signatures that the Stop Rail Now collected, they decided to put their own wording in the November ballot. So I like the wording of the petition of the people. So I hope that the signatures are all there and the wording of the petition goes there, because it's important for this project to people take a stand and vote yes or no for the rail. In my opinion, I believe two-thirds of the people will say no, because all they have to do is look into their own lifestyle and see how rail fits into there. I mean, they have to be serious about it. They cannot develop rail because of the other guy. So the other guy will take it and they will continue to use their road. No, you should vote for rail if you just look at your own lifestyle and the lifestyle of your family, and you decide that you will make a conscious decision to maybe sell off one of your cars and switch to rail regularly. I mean, using the rail occasionally, I mean, you don't spend $6 billion to use a service occasionally. Either you are going to become a dedicated user for commuting like at least four times a week, or forget about it. Why are you voting in favor? So it is okay to have alternatives, but not at the tune of $6.4 billion.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I'm learning from various sources and employees that money is being diverted from the sewage plant, and things are not being spent properly. And so the focus is on rail. Rail.
Always.
Right?
Always.
And it's just shameful.
Shameful.
But what I'm also finding is that I witnessed Denise DaCosta, and I wanted to speak on that. And maybe I believe that an individual in her capacity should be neutral.
Okay.
But I got the feeling and the impression that she has this investment and seemed to be manipulated and has too great of an interest. She was downright rude, in a sense. And I don't believe that that is the role of
the city clerk.
And I believe that her decisions clearly reflect, in my opinion, reflect, because she's not objective. There's some gamesmanship on her part. And I will ask her to come on, and I will discuss that with her. I don't expect you to sit here and validate my worries. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to express that now on air to say that I saw something in her, and her the way she displayed, her behavior was displayed, causes me concern. So when we are hiring, if it's true, now I don't have any facts, if you're recruiting in the head environmental, public environmentalist from Sierra Club, and then you're getting reporters to come and work for you in your camp and what have you, who's been really chiming and trying to keep your feet to the fire, so you bring them into your camp. And then you have the Corporation Council, who's directly involved in withholding documents from me. And then in turn, you have Denise DaCosta behaving in such a fashion. I'm beginning to wonder, what is it that's really going on? What is he committed to? Democracy or freedom? Or is it just that he wants to have it his way?
Yeah, he's committed to the project. He is committed to the project. And that, while we have him on tape, I mean, he was actually fuming, and he said, it's steel wheel on steel rails, or I'll pull the plug. We literally have him on tape. I mean, he gave it in a public interview to all the TV channels were there, and he was,
Now, we have a caller, Matthew. Matthew, are you there? I'm sorry that we had to wait.
Good morning, Paul.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for your time, and appreciate the show. I've got a... got some comments for your campaign, Panos. It seems like Murphy's got this, I mean, this political machine, and it's heavily entrenched interests. That's a really interesting fact about Mr. Brennan that Carol shared with us just moments ago. To see that the mayor of the city seems to be controlling the unions, which are supposed to be, you know, as a separate resource for government regulations, but when these two are entwined with, I guess, the most popular media, which is the newspaper, the advertiser, and you have that coupled with a powerful voice of unions, and on top of that, what is essentially a disposable taxpayer income, it seems like you're up against a real Goliath of a challenge coming on November.
Absolutely.
What do you think is your selling point for your campaign? Because, I mean, when you look at the resources that Mufi has and the fact that you are campaigning on issues that people would consider mostly unsexy, infrastructure, waste treatment, transportation, I mean, those are all essential, and that's the hard work of a mayor, but when you listen to Mufi's campaign ads, you know, his slogan is something like "Our Mayor, Our Hawaii," and you know, there's this sense of localism and exclusion to Kobayashi and to yourself as even possible candidates for mayor. Seems like Mr. Hanneman and all his ambitions have pretty much led up to this point. And from here, maybe a jump to the Senate or a gubernatorial office. And if he's already taken in these campaign contributions from countless contractors, Brinkerhoff engineers, that donating the maximum amount through their employees, it seems almost impossible for this project to be halted at this point. It seems like this is already a 10-year plan, and there's almost nothing to be done about it.
That's right, and I think that's actually one of his biggest motivations, because I think he's smart enough to realize that rail does not offer any real solution. But what happens when you are a proponent of a mega project is that there are a lot of special interests that form all around it, and as a result, you get bankrolled in your political campaigns. And essentially, as you said, that's a plan that, in theory, will work very well for him, because he has nearly amassed $3 million, which is unprecedented for a mayoral race almost anywhere. And that's his 10-year plan, 2 years mayor and then governor and then maybe Washington, D.C. But all these are extraneous thoughts to myself as far as I'm concerned. I mean, I would tend to agree with most of what you said. And usually incumbents have unions in their on their side. But what I notice time and again is when I meet people, and I meet people by the hundreds these days, is that the supermajority of them, they were ex-Mufi voters, that they are not going to vote for Mufi anymore. So I really don't know what his strength is besides, you know, some of the unions. And again, if the union bosses have an endorsement, by no means that means that the entire union votes this way. I mean, if they have some control, but actually at present time very limited as far as how individual rank and file people vote, because those are individual people and they have their own brains and preferences and see how things work. As far as where we are going with this is that people have realized that you can talk about warm and fuzzy or sexy, as you put it, issues, but there is no more fundamental issue to people than taxes and infrastructure. And what has happened is during the Hahnemann administration, all taxes went up between 40 and 70% in a short 3.5-year period. And then people realized that their quality of life and services of the city to them by no means have improved by 50%. They haven't improved at all. So, you know, there is a lot of resentment of what has happened. And I think when it comes to the voting booth, we're going to see a completely different picture than what has been displayed in the biased media presently.
I think that holds true for the most part. But I mean, referencing Mr. Cox, the advertiser does put out a preemptive sort of shield for the administration. And I was reading some editorials just the other day where they're stating how good the rail system will be for the economy and how many jobs it'll create.
Right.
And that's an actual popular belief being propagated by the city. And, you know, similar nonsense is out there, but people do go by this. And I would say that there's some economic resentment, but, you know, people can attribute that to national issues, high gas prices. They don't make the causation from city taxes to a degraded quality of life. And I really think, although, you know, you surely do have my vote, and I do my best to campaign for you, you know, in my small sphere of influence.
Mm-hmm.
However, when you look at the fact of local media, local unions, general voter apathy or lack of awareness,
mm-hmm.
It seems like you've got a tough road ahead of you. And I mean, even just on name recognition, which I can't begin to say how important that has been in just the people I've spoken to. You know, they hear Kobayashi, they have some idea of mm-hmm. what she's going to bring. They hear Mufi, and, you know, they have either a strong opinion or no opinion.
Right.
And they hear Providoros, and, you know, there's always a 10-second pause, and then, oh, the UH professor, I'm like, this man knows.
right.
Yes.
But, well, the interesting thing is that sometimes the Providoros name does not really stick, because it's hard and it hasn't stuck to their memory. But several of them, and I'm surprised every time, as soon as I get past the first 5 seconds, of how they recognize the Panos professor, and I have seen you on TV and I know what you stand for. So I definitely wouldn't compare myself to the name recognition of established politicians. And, you know, as Ann Kobayashi says, she's been serving the public for over 25 years, and Mufi a similar amount. However, I'm going to stick to the issues, and I'm going to stick to the fundamentals, and get the true story out, and then what happens. People decide. And I couldn't agree more with you about the falsehood of federal monies, because every time I get an opportunity, I explain that at best, and this is really a made-up number, that the city will get $900 million. At some points now, the mayor says that they were going to get $1.2 billion. Which is, there is no other word for it, pure lunacy, because the New Start balance for the entire federal transit administration is $1.8 billion, and there are over 20 cities competing for it. Now, getting $1.2 billion for Honolulu is really a ludicrous number. Now, once upon a time, the Oahu Metropolitan Planning Organization has put in a reasonable estimate for federal support at $450 million. Quickly, that one was changed to $600 million, then $750 million, $900 million, whatever. Let's take $900 million as a number that maybe would materialize if everything went Mufi Hanneman's way. That one is barely sufficient to cover for the rails and the rail technology. Therefore, all the federal money will be spent at steel mills in Pittsburgh and buying trains from Germany, Canada, or Korea. None of the federal money, this we have to make it clear time and again, none of the federal money will ever reach Oahu. Simple as that. The entire rail system will be built locally with local funds. And that's why people begin to understand that paying out of pocket $5 billion for the 30-mile system is just simply unaffordable. And, of course, the union commercials out there that we built the H3 freeway, well, the H3 freeway at today's money was $1.6 billion, of which 80% was paid by the federal government, the Federal Highway Administration. Therefore, the locals never took a hit of that big mega project. Rail is completely different.
And it was essentially a government service project.
That's right.
Considering that it is military a linkage from Marine Corps base to the Navy base.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there's no government interest. But would you say that the reason Mufi is wanting to put the single question on the ballot for the Transit Authority is to compensate for the lack of federal funds because they would be an appointed authority with tax powers, so when the general excise tax dries up and federal funds fall through, he'll still have a way to impose more taxes upon the city without necessarily associating himself with it?
Well, actually, the truth came out on Thursday when his director, Wayne Yoshioka, and we have him on tape on Olelos, that said that all deficits, and they do expect substantial deficits, will be covered by increasing the property taxes. And we have been saying for over a year now that the anticipated further increase to the property taxes will be in the order of 40% to cover the shortfall.
Wow. What is the main purpose for the Transit Authority, and why do you think he wants to bundle it into one question for the yes or no on a rail?
It's very manipulative on his part, because yeah. Transit authorities can have independent authority, therefore they don't have to report to the council. So they can do essentially not what they want, but they have much less oversight by elected officials.
Right. Well, Matthew, thank you. But in answering and adding to what you just asked regarding authorities, here's a great danger of authorities. You and I, as a citizen, will have a difficulty in obtaining any of their information because they are quasi-private. So that's one of the other reasons he would like to do that. Once you get an authority in, they can co-mingle with and have direct access to the public's monies, funds, decisions, and all. But when you come to ask a question, they declare, we're a private entity. So therefore, we have to preserve our private interests. But anyway, we're going to take a break. We have John on the line. John, are you there real quickly if you got a quick question for Panos? And thank you, Matthew.
If you team up with Ann Kobayashi, so there's one vote against Mufi instead of two?
Well, actually, I heard through the grapevine that because now there are nine people vying for it, one of the other folks, not Mufi and not Ann, tried to coalesce with the rest of them so that they can come up with a powerful platform. But none of them wanted it. And, at this point, you cannot even legally do it. So we have to go for it, and the stronger competitor, the two stronger competitors, will go to November, hopefully. We certainly don't want Mufi Hanneman to get 50% plus one vote in September. That would be the best outcome at this point.
Okay, thank you, John. We're going to take a break. This is the Carol Cox Show. I have Panos Prevadoras here with me, mayoral candidate of Honolulu. And we'll be right back.
Fish lovers of Hawaii, listen up, please, because there's some good news and some bad news. The bad news is that the state and federal governments have closed the main Hawaiian Islands fisheries for 7 bottom fish species. This closure affects the so-called Deep Seven, meaning Opakapaka, Kalikali, Onaga, Ehu, Jindai, Sea Bass, and Lehi. So from now until September 1st, you can't catch them, eat them, give them away, or even have one on your boat. The good news is that the Deep Seven fisheries of the northwestern Hawaiian Islands are loaded with fish and are open year-round. Not too many boats are allowed to fish the northwest these days, but you can ask your favorite fish store or restaurant to keep an eye out for you when their catches do arrive at the fish auction. So good luck and bon appetit.
Welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. I have here Panis Prevadoris, mayoral candidate for Honolulu. A couple points that one of the callers raised, Matthew raised, and I've often had concerns with that. I'm from an era and a place where buzzwords and code words mean a lot. Mm-hmm. Our mayor, our town.
Okay.
Now, I wouldn't have any concerns with that here in this beautiful place that we call Honolulu and Hawaii, because mm-hmm. we are multi-racial and mm-hmm. ethnically mm-hmm. mixed. That should be the last thing spoken
right.
by anyone in public office. Mm-hmm. But I'm sadly reminded that he raised the issue that he's Polynesian,
right.
the big Polynesian. Some mm-hmm. comments of that nature.
Right.
I don't have any fear that the people out there mm-hmm. are not smart enough to vote. I have a different opinion mm-hmm. of people out there mm-hmm. in that they know when they're being tricked.
Mm-hmm.
They know when they're being prodded or mm-hmm. being bought off. They know that.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that Mayor Hanneman may be successful in incorporating Derek Lowe and the others and mm-hmm. what have you into his campaign.
Mm-hmm.
But the people that I come across, they can see beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know why? Because they know, for example, he encouraged the increase of the sewer fees.
That's right.
Now, we increased the sewer fees up close to $100 or something of that, where I pay.
To the order of 180% if you count everything.
Right.
Yeah.
And we're still having sewer problems, and he's off running out looking for a rail. Now, mm-hmm. if we have the sewer system being treated the manner which... How do you think a bigger project such as the rail is going to be handled? See, we already have our example. I'm not too overly worried. I'm just uh-huh. worried about the trickery and
right.
the legal manipulation,
mm-hmm.
just outright, denying the people Stop Rail to right. filing their complaint.
Right,
see,
right.
when you resort to those tactics, he's
yeah.
worried, too,
yeah.
that the public can see through some of this.
Yeah.
But...
Well, before you go beyond that point, talking about rail and accountability... I would contrast our city with the city of Denver. The city of Denver is a little more together than ours. I mean, I think our city and state governments and the productivity of the public work is reasonable, but not the best. And accountability in Hawaii is not the best by far. As you said, there are, you know, dark mm-hmm. corners and, you know, disclosure and what have you. But talking about rail, there is a big rail project going on in Denver. It's called Fast Track.
Mm-hmm.
And people really wanted it. And the budget for that was $2.7 billion. $2.7 billion for a city of about 4 million population. The project has started. Now that it has started, what is the estimated completion cost? $7.9 billion. So it was under $3 billion to begin with, and now it is about $8 billion. Now, Denver is at least 4 million people. A little bit here, a little bit there, they'll probably be able to pay for it. So imagine now an $8 to $10 billion project for Hawaii with 400,000 taxpaying population.
Mm-hmm.
We are talking now about $40,000 out-of-pocket money
right. From
every family. I mean, it really does not compute by any account. So it's
What was that commercial? 20 mayors out of some...
Oh, 20 out of 21 cities
right. Use
steel wheel and steel rail. So what? That's again like potholes.
Yeah.
20 out of 21 making the wrong choice. And in addition, list those cities and say, well, do you want Honolulu to be, you know, Salt Lake City? I mean, nothing wrong with Salt Lake City, but Honolulu is much more beautiful. Do you want Honolulu to be, you know, Charlotte, North Carolina, that, you know, the advertiser put it on the cover? No, Charlotte has some charm, but Honolulu is a truly beautiful city that 7 million people pay good money to come and visit it every year.
Right.
Nobody pays good money to really go visit Charlotte. If you drive through, you go, and it's a picturesque city. Now, going back to the cost, Charlotte got light rail for $450 million,
mm-hmm.
of which only $50 million was local city taxes. The rest was state and federal.
Mm-hmm.
For us, over $5 billion, that's 5,000 millions, will be our own city taxes. Again, it does not compute. This project really has to be killed. There is no other way about it.
Right.
It has to die. It has died three times in the past. It has to die one more time because
mm-hmm.
it doesn't fit. We cannot afford it. And at $150 million a year maintenance fee, we cannot maintain it.
Yeah, I
as
think
simple as that.
The vote will be determined by the people that pay the taxes. And I'm not worried. I don't fret. I simply am not worried. But changing tracks,
sure.
in a sense, and speaking of manipulation, and I must say this, let the people know out there that I have, on different accounts,
mm-hmm.
invited the mayor
mm-hmm.
to come to the show.
Mm-hmm.
I spoke with Keith Rollman,
okay.
one of his representatives,
yeah.
and asked him if he would be willing to come on the show.
Mm-hmm.
To date, I've not heard yay or nay, and that's been 2 months now, three months. So I want people to know that I'm not picking sides, and I'm going to give you the naked truth here. And if you don't like it, just turn off your radio, and
mm-hmm.
we will disagree, and you don't have to listen
right.
to me.
Right.
But let me just share with the public out there and yourself another behavior that is I consider to be sinister.
Mm-hmm.
We have the union, which is there's run. Some of these people are very close. The heads of it is there's a gentleman George Parrish.
I see.
Very close to Hanneman.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Has interests and or I don't know monetary or whatever, but he's had expressed interest in the Maile landfill,
mm-hmm.
a quarry that was mm-hmm. attempting to get a permit. Right.
I see.
Now, wouldn't he be encouraged not just to get jobs for the rail,
mm-hmm.
but also he wants to run a landfill,
mm-hmm.
a C&D
yeah,
landfill,
yeah, yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so who would be issuing the permits, and who would be regulating him?
Right,
Hanneman's administration
mm-hmm.
under the Department of Planning and
yeah.
Permitting.
Now, for our listening, C&D's construction and demolition. So,
right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, I have documentation and full experience that there were many corners cut and heads turned, would not enforce
mm-hmm.
the rules coming to that under the administration of the Hanneman
right.
for
right.
this interest. But there's a company called Pine Ridge.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the last rail sign waving in front of the Capitol that go rail go,
mm-hmm.
there was a couple of trucks that drove around and honked their horns
mm-hmm.
and it said Pine Ridge, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, Pine Ridge is regulated by the Hanneman administration,
mm-hmm.
and they have a thing they call Bedminster. They're up there crushing rocks. They're
mm-hmm.
running salvaging and C&D and
mm-hmm.
whatever, cement processing
mm-hmm.
and on and on. And they're a trucking company.
Right.
I know that they've actually made a decision on Bedminster simply to pencil in to say they don't need to go before the public.
Uh-huh.
to give public input mm-hmm. to open up the facility of Bedminster, right? So when I see a different concern, when I see the trucks driving by and the signs right. waving, what I see is a strategy on the part of this Hanneman. It just seems that his tentacles and behavior
tentacles, yes.
reaches out
mm-hmm.
through, and it's sinister. And if the public buys into it, it's okay.
Yeah.
I mean, you get the government you vote for.
Right.
So
right.
having said all of that, go ahead and how do people contact you?
Well, to add to your comment, I believe that the Hanneman administration has been the premier conflict of interest and sleeping with the enemy kind of administration to begin with. I mean, a simple investigation that you can see is, the many tentacles of Parsons Brinckerhoff into the rail project.
Mm-hmm.
Parsons Brinckerhoff doing this, ex-Parsons Brinckerhoff executives have created InfraConsult that manages the project, and an ex-Parsons Brinckerhoff director is actually directing the city's Department of Transportation Services. So anywhere you look around this project is all Parsons Brinckerhoff. But since we're closing to a draw, I would like to inform your listeners now that our website, I'm Panos Prevedouris and I'm running for mayor, of course. Our website is Panos for Progress, one word, panosforprogress.com. And you can reach us by phone by calling 6363 Panos. PANOS. And a fun thing for today, Sunday, is that I'm going to be at the Greek Festival, which is at the Ala Moana Park, McCoy Pavilion. And between 12 and 4, along with Peter Kay, will be the bartender. So come for some ouzo and some opa there to have some fun. Of course, it's all non-political. It's all, a fundraiser for the Greek and Russian Orthodox Church. And it's always a good time, Greek music, Greek fun, gyros souvlaki, Greek salad, and ouzo and beer and dancing and a lot of mementos to buy. It's a good fun every time, every year. This weekend in August, the Greek festival at the Ala Moana Park. Again, very happy to be your guest here, Carol. And anybody who wants to contact us, please give us a call, 63 Panos or panosforprogress.com. Thank you.
You're welcome, and I've enjoyed it once again. And we think Ms. Kobayashi and the other candidates. I'm hoping to. You mentioned the nine.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to invite them as well because I want to have this serve as a platform so the people can hear everybody's views, everybody's
mm-hmm.
talk, and if you and others want to come back together, I'd like to, but I want the public to call in. I don't like sitting here just asking you questions.
I want
them to have an experience of value
mm-hmm.
and asking you off guard. I can assure you, folks, he don't have any paper. This is not scripted, and I wouldn't permit it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Just wouldn't be a part of that. But I'm hoping there's a dialogue and that we visited.
That's right.
Did a drive around
tour, yes.
tour of some of the waste sites and,
mm-hmm.
and what have you.
Solid waste dumps, yes.
I looked in you, in your eyes, and I saw at various sites that I took you.
Right.
What do you think? What did you go away with?
That we have a huge problem. That we have a huge problem. We have huge acreage that it's a dump, and we need to fix it. We
mm-hmm.
need to fix Oahu now.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, thank you. This is the Carol Cox Show. You can pick us up at carolcox.com is the email, and carolcox.com is the website. It is podcast, so thank you, and we'll see you next week. Aloha.
Fish lovers of Hawaii, listen up, please, because there's some good news and some bad news. The bad news is that the state and federal governments have closed the main Hawaiian Islands fisheries for 7 bottom fish species. This closure affects the so-called Deep 7, meaning Opakapaka, Kalikali, Onaga, Ehu, Jindai, Sea Bass, and Lehi. So from now until September 1st, you can't catch them, eat them, give them away, or even have one on your boat. The good news is that the Deep 7 fisheries of the northwestern Hawaiian Islands are loaded with fish, and are open year-round. Not too many boats are allowed to fish the Northwest these days, but you can ask your favorite fish store or restaurant to keep an eye out for you when their catches do arrive at the fish auction. So good luck and bon appetit.
This is KWAI, Honolulu 1080 on the AM dial.